Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
And Bowerly and Bellavia, so to bring you up to speed on what's happening at McKinley High School, Claudine Ewing actually did the story. And basically, you have a teacher at McKinley who was involved in a cell phone dispute with a 14-year-old freshman student, was talking to the freshman student's mother on the phone, and the 14-year-old freshman came into the room and body slammed the teacher to the ground, causing a laceration to the student's teacher's back. And the teacher is the one who gets put on administrative leave. Now, I'm not sure if that is some kind of a punitive thing, whether that is standard operating procedure, whether that represents a black mark on the teacher's resume, you know, as if somehow the teacher did something wrong. But apparently things are out of control at McKinley High School since your friend and mine, Crystal Barton, is no longer the principal at McKinley High School. The phone number on WBEN is 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go back to Jason in Lindenville, who used to be involved with Buffalo Schools. And, you know, how common are incidents like this, Jason?
I tell you, again, I was in all of the schools, including they participate with the jail. And, you know, that was kind of an experience going in there. But in every school and every day, there was something that would go on. You know, whether I would be on a ladder and a kid would, you know, try and bump the ladder to knock me off, or I even had a contractor that in the middle of the day was going out to his truck in the school parking lot and somebody was trying to open the passenger door. I mean, I've seen incidents where kids were chasing another kid around the room with a pocket knife and the teacher couldn't do anything. I mean, what's she going to do?
Jason, tell me, when in a situation, I don't know if it's a Buffalo public school policy or maybe you have this policy in Lindenville, but when you have a situation where there is an interaction or an assault, whether it's teacher, you know, instigated or student instigated, is it pretty much like what law enforcement does? They put that officer on administrative leave no matter how the situation started?
Well, I'm not on the board at Lindenville. I'm at another district. I work at Lindenville, but for having experience at all the other districts, and as a board member, every district, every board is different as far as what they do. On the face, it looks like, you know, that it's a black mark to the teacher, but in reality, it probably is more for the teacher's protection to find out what's going on, to kind of, you know, reset the game clock, if you will, to protect that teacher, to protect the incident itself, and to move on from there. Again, it could be a standard operating procedure that Buffalo does. I'm not sure what their board, how they handle it, but I would assume that that would be the case, and you know that it's not against the teacher, because I don't think the teacher's done anything wrong.
But what you're describing makes the old classic movie Blackboard Jungle look like child's play. I mean, this is like Blackboard Jungle times 12.
Yeah, it really is a bad district, and it's not McKinley, it's the entire school district.
So, all right, you've had a chance to be around a little bit. What is going on? What is it?
It's the kids. Again, there can be no control because there's so many, and they don't care about learning, and a lot of them are there because they have to be there. It's just hard to control them. I've walked into buildings with the metal detectors there, and the kids just walk right around them. They don't even walk through the metal detectors, and the way they talk to the teachers, talk to their peers, there's no respect, and it's really disgusting. And especially when you're in other districts and you see how good it could be. I mean, even Niagara Falls, they're a great district compared to what I've seen in Buffalo.
So what's the difference between Buffalo? Name a good district. Name a district where children actually behave as though they want to learn and have some degree of accountability.
Akron, Tonawanda City Schools, Lindenville, Roy Hart, Newfane. I've been in all of them. Niagara Falls was even good.
So is the difference the parents? Is it the students? Is it the teachers? Is it the administrators? What is it?
It's all of it. It starts with the parents, and obviously if they don't have support at home, then it goes into the school, and you know, 90% of the day the kids see the teacher, and if the teacher's not getting support from administration or from the district, you know, they're fighting a losing battle there, trying to, you know, make this kid learn if they don't want to learn. It's a tough situation. it involves everybody.
So why not more expulsions? I mean, why would this 14-year-old even be allowed back into McKinley High School?
Well, that's what they want. The kids sometimes, I watched a kid today at the district on that today, lash out, and he wouldn't go to in-school suspension. They called security, and the kid just kind of did it to make a scene. And they want to be suspended. It's a vacation for them. They don't want to be in school in that instance. So they act out. They think it's cool. They get their cell phones out.
You know, Jason, a lot of times when we try to force education on people that don't want to be there, you end up getting older students there because they're failing year after year. You know, they're now interacting with younger kids. You have, you know, drug trafficking. You have folks that are, you know, in New York City schools, you hear about this stuff all the time in major metropolitan areas where you could theoretically have a 20-year-old student, you know, dating a 15-year-old girl and, by the way, running a drug trade inside the school. You hear about all these stories of how, you know, a guy like the shooter down in Parkland, Florida, the kid was on every radar in the world, and the schools were powerless to take him out of the general population because of all these rules made to force kids to go to school. And I was reading a paper by a PhD recently that said maybe the answer is don't let kids that if you're not going to play in that pond and you don't want to play by the rules, don't go to school. Release the obligation that every student has to go to public school.
Yeah, permanent expulsion. What's wrong with that?
Yep. I agree with you, but then you've got, you know, state policies and federal policies that tie your hands for districts and, you know, your state aid and all. There's all kinds of different factors that come into play that they want these kids there because it's money.
But as a teacher, though, that's got to be really difficult. If there's a kid that doesn't want to be there, is disrupting, you're not able to give the quality education that you can because you're worried about the one bad egg.
And you're disrupting the 7 or 8 other kids in a classroom of 26 that actually want to learn. They can't. So it's a bad situation all around.
Wow. Thank you for the call. We'd love to hear from current or past teachers either in Buffalo or elsewhere. What the hell is going on in the public schools? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN, talking about a situation upon which Claudine Ewing from Channel 2 has reported extensively. A Buffalo teacher at McKinley found himself being body slammed. Why? Because a 14-year-old, a freshman, was throwing a scene over the seizure of his cell phone. So the teacher was on the phone with the mother of the student. I don't know why the father wouldn't have been involved, but with the mother of the student. And then the student goes in and body slams the teacher with whom he'd had the squabble over a cell phone. Teacher ends up on administrative leave and ends up with a giant gash on what looks like the lower part of his back. I mean, you want to talk about something that is just a workplace hazard.
Yeah, it's a really big cut on the back of his by his kidney. And, you know, listen, that's a cut, right? You've how many old chairs, a piece of metal, wherever? You could be in. What if the teacher gets impaled? The teacher, you know, everyone talks about how.
Probably laugh.
No, but we all talk about, like, well, we want to arm teachers because of a school shooting. Well, it seems like what teachers need is to defend themselves from not mass shooters, but people just want to kick their ass. I mean, you're a 50-year-old adult. You turn your back at a 14-year-old. Don't act like a 14-year-old kid is just a kid who can't hurt you. I mean, you know, these you could be the size of a grown man at 14 and 15 and use a weapon, anything, catch someone off guard. A teacher cannot be expected. It's not like you're in prison where you're going to get shivved. You expect to deal with that when you're outside of a cafeteria. That's a lot to put on anyone's plate. You've got to establish order, discipline, and of course have a curriculum, make sure kids are passing the test, make sure kids are learning, and there's a 30% chance if you work in the wrong district, you can be shivved.
Well, maybe one of the answers to have some big badass security guy in every single classroom of the school.
I don't exactly, or you know, but an armed cop, it's still going to take a time to get out there, get to where you're at, you know. And what do we empower these? Everyone think, well, if you get a better principal, this doesn't happen. We're not allowing. I mean, Morgan Freeman famously in the movie walking through lean on me with a baseball bat, chains the doors from the inside or whatever it was, so no one could get out, no one could come in. That's not that guy. Didn't that guy? They want to put him on charges. That real life principal. They wanted to arrest him.
Joe Clark.
That he wasn't a hero to everyone. You can't. There's not enough authority as a principal or a superintendent to just go to your school and handle it like it's a. You know, you're not a governor of a province. You're a superintendent or a principal of a school. You don't have the overwhelming authority to change the way kids' attitudes are. But I do believe you can do something about kids urinating outside, getting in street fights, and selling drugs.
Well, when it's outside, the police can get involved. I mean, you start urinating outside, that is a criminal offense. You can't do that.
Nor should it be tolerated. But, you know, God forbid, they say that the most important thing in real estate is location, 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 unless, of course, you live near McKinley High School.
Yeah,
and then
so
it's urination, urination, urination.
Oh, nice. I should have seen that one coming. Let's go to Susan on WBEN. Susan, you work in the school system?
Yeah, I do. And it's kind of interesting. I missed the part about what exactly happened at McKinley today.
That was Thursday. It was yesterday.
Go ahead.
It was yesterday.
Ah, what exactly happened?
Well, we've been going over it, we have a situation where a teacher got body slammed and had a severe laceration on his back because a student, a 14-year-old freshman, was upset over a cell phone issue.
Yeah, well, I actually, I've been in Buffalo a long time, but one of my positions actually, I replaced in 2006 a teacher that is still to this day has brain damage because he was breaking up a fight between two ladies, and one of them took the metal garbage can, bashed in his head, and then when the male teacher went down, she then took her shoes and just kind of like stamped on his head. He never returned to work. He's permanent brain damage. So that was like one of my new jobs was replacing that teacher. So I do know that point of view, the violence that is existing and has since the 80s, since I've been working in Buffalo, in Buffalo Public Schools. But now I'm at a different school where that is not an everyday occurrence. So the gentleman that was talking about, you know, it's all over Buffalo, I did have issues with that. So that is.
Would you work at, like, City Honors or something?
Do I work at City Honors?
Yeah.
No, I work at another school that is considered to be. There's quite a few good schools in the Buffalo School District.
Yeah, there are.
And City Honors is not the only one. I'm at a high school.
Okay, I think I know where you are, but immaterial. Go ahead.
Yeah, so my point being that, yeah, there is a lot of, you know, people have to remember that Buffalo, one of the problems of Buffalo, in my opinion, school district, it's just too big. And so I really believe, I'm at a smaller high school now, and I think one of the reasons it's successful is because of the size. Teachers, administrators, within no time after September starts, you can know a large number of your student population, and that's making a connection with your students. It's huge in being successful with them.
But if they don't want to make, I mean, any relationship is a two-way street, and if somebody doesn't want to make a connection with you, how do you get past that, my dear?
Well, there's no question that is true. You can do, you know, everything in your educational power to take a negative situation and make it positive. And I'm a special education teacher, and I feel like our background, we are a little bit more trained to deal with the more challenging student that you're referring to. I don't know the all-in-all cure, but at the end of there are those kids that are going to be, I don't want to say bad kids, but have some pretty bad, maybe even violent behavior. But I put, you know what, McKinley High School, this kid was not violent just when he got to high school. He's been probably violent for a while, or she. I don't know if it's a he or she. I had more issues with that than anything, that they just keep pushing troubled kids.
Social promotion?
Well, and not so much social promotion.
Hold on. We've got to take a break. I know that might shock you, but hold on if you could. And by the way, like I said earlier this week, don't worry about our breaks. The most broken up show in the history of broadcasting, I'm convinced, is absolutely positively Live PD. And I always encourage you, if you're a Live PD fan, to record Live PD and watch it later.
Dynamic Duo is back.
Look at both of us. We're like Greek gods.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN.
So, Claudine Ewing from Channel 2 has been reporting on this. McKinley High School teacher, I was body slammed from Channel 2's website. The teacher asked that Channel 2 not identify him by name or face, said he called the student's mother from his classroom phone, as he'd done the day before, because of the student's bad behavior. 14-year-old high school student is now facing charges after police say he attacked a teacher. Two On Your Side's Claudine Ewing spoke with that teacher as students were being dismissed yesterday at about 3:15. A 14-year-old freshman at McKinley High School, according to a teacher, was acting up in the hallway because his cell phone was taken away. The teacher, who asked that Channel 2 not identify him by name or face, said he called the student's mom from his classroom phone, as he'd done the day before, because of the student's bad behavior. The teacher said, quote, "While I was talking to the mother, she asked to speak to her son. He talked to his mother very shortly and then handed me back the phone and started cussing at me, yelling at me as I was going back to sit into my desk. He body slammed me to the ground, and I'm not sure what I landed on, but my back was severely cut open." Claudine Ewing asked, "How are you feeling?" He said, "Not too good. Very distraught. This is my career. Something I love to do, teaching students, and something you never expect to happen in your career." Now, Buffalo police arrested the student at the school. The 14-year-old charged with felony assault and harassment, which is a violation. The Teachers Union President Phil Rumor, as you might imagine, is not terribly happy. So what in the hell is going on? Now, the teacher says the culture of the school has drastically changed since Principal Barton was removed from the school, and the new culture and leadership is creating a culture where students and teachers feel unsafe. This is one of the first schools. This is one of the first schools that we've ever had that the teachers took a vote of no confidence because of what was going on in that school. Rumor says the district has not done anything about the current principal in place, and he says something needs to change. That is from Channel 2's website. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN and Susan in Buffalo. That was the story to which you wanted to hear more details.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I'm nodding my head as far as when you talk about, you know, an administrator that, you know, is not qualified to lead, you know, lead a big school. I'm not going to say that my administration, I'm just not going to comment on, but I do think that when there are issues brought up, the district does not want to deal with them, and they sweep a lot under the table, and I think that that's what you see. One of my first jobs was Crystal Barton was my assistant principal when I started in the early 80s. And, you know, when you have a strong leader, it's no different than having a strong president of a country. Leader, everything does start at the top. However, oftentimes things are broken because the board won't deal with things that, you know, are important and relevant and happening, and they don't listen.
Why? Why are they shutting their eyes to what's going on? What's going on here under the surface that the board doesn't want to do anything about it?
I think they like to just, you know, it's easier. It's easier not to deal with problems and issues. Sweep it under the table to you. There's a lot, you know, one of our biggest lines that we say when they change a policy for, you know, education, for curriculum, or even policy rules and procedures, a lot of it we say, oh, another smoke and mirror policy, you know, just to make so they can say that they're doing something, put it in print in the newspaper, you know, and appease whoever they're trying to appease, I guess the public. But what they are saying is happening isn't reality of the schools. You know, I always say I wish a lot more people that make comments, including you and your partner, could come walk in our schools, and you would see things in a different light. it's easier to make comments, and I think that's what happens with the board. I think they make a lot of decisions while they're at City Hall without ever walking through these schools. They just don't have physically their body in the game, and they're not there day in and day out like the teachers are, like the students are. And they don't listen to their students, and they don't listen to their teachers. And oftentimes they don't listen to their administrators. And like you said before about the student and the teacher having a mutual relationship, it's a lot of people that need to be in this game of education. It's the board. It's the teachers. It's administration. It's the parents.
Right on. Hey, Susan, thank you so much for that call. Really good information there. Thank you.
Appreciate hearing from you. Let's go on to Brenda in Buffalo on WBEN. So, Brenda, what's going on in Buffalo schools?
Okay, first of all, I want to tip my hat to the Buffalo Police Department. I also want to tip my hat to the teacher that talked about it. I worked in the school system over 20-something years. A good understanding of understanding the Buffalo school system is that people have to educate themselves to these public laws that are imposed, because many of the districts follow the public laws that give students rights, more rights than actually the employees that work there. And once you learn these laws, then you'll get quite an understanding as to why kids can do things. I've seen kids, people that have been injured by students, they're walking down the hall with an ice pack, holding the hand of a student that has popped them in the head, and still they will tell me that he didn't mean to do it.
So is that like reality deficit disorder?
Better understanding. Like I said, read some of these laws, because kids are given, there's a behavior, they got behavior laws and behavior things, labels for everything that a person does. Now that kid, he'll probably slam the guy. He'll probably get anger management, and if the guy is lucky enough to go back to work, the kid will be back in his room.
So Brenda, what is the protocol when you're assaulted? I mean, you have to go obviously internally first. You have to go to, you know, whoever is enforcing, principal, vice principal, whatever it is. But in a situation like that, you just directly call 911?
You go to the principal, and it's up to the principal to then take it to the next step. The teacher and the employee that's injured is supposed to fill out a report. If it's really bad enough, they will remove the student from the classroom. Now, when I worked in the system, I used to have the in-house suspension room, and that was the room that the students used to go to before they were actually either expelled or suspended.
Right.
And I would get those kids that acted out sometime, and then if it was really bad, they would call, like I said, the police,
right,
and the parent. But however, whatever happens, that kid somehow has got a safety net under some law that prevents anything very seriously to happen to them.
But you don't have a safety net, Brenda. I mean, that seems to me, I mean, you must be one of the most patient and loving people in the world, because you don't have a safety net, and yet it seems like everything is against you as the teacher or the supervisor of the detention room.
I'm going to tell you, during the last year I worked in the system, but I was injured, not by anyone in the school. I was injured by accident.
Right.
One of my students challenged me and came to me. I forgot what we were just talking. They came, it was a girl, and she came to me and had me so up, she got me so mad. I envisioned myself picking her up. It was so realistic, and slamming her against the wall. And all I did was look at her. I stood at my desk and I looked at her. I said, "Walk away from my desk." And she looked at me. I said, "Walk away from my desk." And she walked away, and I turned and looked out the window.
I can hear the emotion, Brenda.
No, I can imagine. It's you got to check your bearing every single day, because
you do. That's why I say I applaud the police department. I'm a realistic person, and I really want that child to see the results of his actions.
Brenda, how do you do that when you very well may be the only may have been the only positive influence in a child's life, a child who is clearly heading down the path to trouble?
Some of them, I don't know, some of them change, and my greatest joy is to see my students later as adults. And a few of them have come to me and said, Mrs., I'm not going to give my last
name. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so.
So-and-so, I understand what you've been telling me.
Brenda, how about the parents? You spent quite some time in the Buffalo schools. Do you want to talk about some of the changes you've seen in the home situation and the parents?
Well, that's the one of the things that was very prevalent among many of the instructors is that they know so much about their home life. Sometimes they come in with a sympathy and empathy so that they let the child kind of have a little leeway because their parents is doing this and that. And I had a discussion one time with another staff member. I said, you can't do anything about their home life. Your thing is to change the child.
Right.
And you're to educate the child so that you give them the skills that they can go out and succeed. I said, the only way you can change their home life is re-educate the parents. But that's not who's here. The child is the one that's here.
You've got to break the cycle with the generation that is in front of you.
Right.
Right.
Brenda, let me ask you a really stupid question, but it might not be. Given what you experienced for such a long period of time, do you ever feel like maybe you've got some of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress?
No.
Okay.
I was the type of person who didn't believe in sugarcoating. I was a child once. I know what was there. And my main goal was the children and to try to see some type of change or some type. I wanted them to succeed. And so I was realistic. I didn't really say, oh, you're going to do this or you're going to. I just told him, here's what I told him. And this is, I said, your decisions that you make affect more than you.
What was the response?
They just looked at me. They didn't quite. I said, the decisions that you make in life affect more than you. So when I got a child in my ILC room who I knew was their parent, or I would always tell them, your parents work too hard. They're sending you to school to have to come here and take a day off to come here and see why you act this way. You're only here 6 hours. I said, when you go into the world, you're going to work 8 hours. And you're acting like this for 6 hours?
So Brenda, knowing what you know now when you started your career, would you have done this again?
I didn't even know I was going to do it. I was gonna be a nurse, but I took this career term, but I loved it. But however, I'm retired and I've been thinking of doing it, but I don't know if I want to go in and have a headache.
Right.
Wow.
The highs are high, the lows are low.
Brenda, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call.
All right.
I think you're a very special lady. I hope we hear from you again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Brenda. Wow, that's a very powerful and compelling phone call. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I feel like that call should be called a voice from the trenches. Back to the calls, talking about what happened at McKinley High School yesterday. Teacher is body slammed by a student, 14 years old, who's under felony assault arrest right now. And, how bad is it in the schools? My goodness, here's Dawn in Buffalo on WBEN. Dawn, welcome to Bowerly and Bellavia.
Thank you. Behaviors in the schools are excused by poverty, which is a liberal PC line of thought. I grew up very poor. Children did not feel free to behave this way. And now we have excused this behavior. We also excuse their parents for not providing fundamental necessities. When they don't provide food, we fill in with food instead of asking the parent why they are not providing food. When they are missing school supplies, we no longer question the parents. If there's no winter coat, we no longer question the parents. It's all excused by poverty. And that's not the truth. The truth is...
Well, it's certainly uncomfortable to have that discussion because, you know, we're told everywhere that we have to show empathy and political correct being politically correct takes over. And sometimes when we're not honest, we all suffer for it.
We are providing free clothing, shelter, and all necessities to many families in this state who are not providing adequate care to their children.
But so how do you take, what do? If you take away the government subsidies.
Oh, I don't want to take that away.
No, but I'm just saying, how do you enforce, how do you enforce honorable behavior? How do you force people to do what they should?
If your child shows up without a winter coat, you are a negligent parent, and we have laws in place for that, but the teachers are not allowed to call.
I thought you guys were mandatory reporters. That doesn't count?
They are mandatory reporters, but they don't. They don't report.
Because it's awkward and uncomfortable, or why?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you think the reason why they're not, you know, they're obligated, they have a responsibility, but it's embarrassing to tell someone, you know, I'm calling the authorities on you because you don't want a confrontation?
I'm not sure why they don't do it, but something in the politically correct world believes that poverty is reason enough to neglect your children, and it's not. In the past, even people who were impoverished managed to take care of their children. And now we look the other way. So a 14-year-old is facing a felony. Well, I would like to know what his home life is like. I would like to know how much violence there is verbally in the home, how much this child has been beaten in his past. And I'm not excusing his behavior. I believe he should be held accountable, but I believe his parents should be held accountable as well.
Right.
Whatever direction that takes. But when a child shows up and he's not eating enough, well, then the state needs to be called, not showing up with backpacks full of food on the weekend.
Right, right.
We are excusing all of this due to poverty, but yet I grew up in total poverty, and our schools did not have these problems because our parents held us accountable. Instead, it is taught that your teacher is wrong.
Right.
There is such a lack of discipline that the child is clueless how to behave in a school setting, in which case the parents need to be held accountable. But this all goes back to the family. How much do we have to give these people before they take care of their children?
That's a fair question to ask. And the thing is that, you know, it's easy to point to the institution. It's easy to point to the educator, the administrator, everyone else, the bus drivers, the you know. But you, here's how I look at it. You don't just look at, you know, a school in the city and say, well, this is a waste. There are kids there that actually want to learn. And we're not doing any service to someone who's trying to improve their current situation.
And they have great parents.
And they do have parents that love them, and they want to get out of the poverty they're in, but they are actually the prisoners. They're the victims by these other kids, and they're not able to get the most out of their education because other kids they don't know enough, or they're rude, or they're just not, their parents don't love them. And it's sad. It's heartbreaking, but it's hurting good kids that are trying to learn.
Thank you very much for the call. Wish we had more time.